welcome back. Oh yeah, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is now hour number two of the happiest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Finney Eastwood Show. We scream and yell and act really nuts about incredibly scary stuff. U.S. president on edge of fiscal cliff. Understatement of the century. Okay. This is a headline article in the New Zealand Herald, okay, and no likes, no tweets, no G pluses, no nothing. Not even so much shared. And it's an article straight lifted out of Associated Press anyway. This is New Zealand media for you, man. They used to have, dig this, I think New Zealand Herald used to have like 93 or something around that, like investigative reporters working for them. They now have like 3 or 4 working full time. No wonder they're copying everybody else's content. The alternative media do it too. Except we don't have to worry about whether or not this content might be credible or whatever, because we just rip it to shreds. Like, let's proceed. And I want to take some callers. Frickin' heck, why are there no callers? 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. Unless, of course, you're all sucking back the tequila so that you can get a hangover that will perhaps somehow block out the memory of this election. I can understand that kind of mentality. Maybe why you might not be listening right now. So, continuing on with the article. If all of the tax cuts empire and all of the spending cuts take effect, the superpower could tip into recession. What do you mean tip into recession? It's already in recession. All right? I mean, it's more of a recession than somebody who smokes weed and then tries to breathe the smoke that they breathe out back in. Recession. Spend any time looking at the United States fiscal numbers, and it is hard to escape the conclusion that the land of the free is also the land of the freeloader. So wide is the gap between what Americans expect their government to do for them and what they are prepared to pay for in taxes. Yeah, that's right, because it costs about 30 times. I don't know. About 30 times as much to get something done through a government agency as it does to just get it done. As long as the election loomed, their political leaders have had a powerful incentive to dodge the task of putting the US government's finances on a credible path to sustainability. Oh, there's that Agenda 21 buzzword, sustainability, which means you can't get any electricity if the government doesn't want to give it to you. You can't get no food, no gas, no water, no nothing. Right, that's sustainability. That's what they want. It is a challenge as daunting as it is pressing. And I love the numbers that they fudge out here. You know, most of the major media, they never even, take a mention, fractional reserve or derivatives. Okay, dig this. The federal government has just recorded its fourth and annual deficit in a row, north of $1 trillion. It borrows $1 for every $3 it spends. Here's the reality. It's actually more like a couple of quadrillion in derivative debt. They take $1, call it $40, gamble it on a stock market at 1,000 to 1, and then that debt is still there, and it ain't going away, and eventually somebody's going to have to pay for that. $4 quadrillion is worth more than the whole world's assets and monetary and hard metals combined. There's more debt than what's actually in existence. What are we going to do? Harvest Mars to pay off the debt? You've got to be freaking kidding me. These people are nuts. We got no concept of what the heck is going on with the economy. I don't know nothing. And I still know 10,000 times more, at least. That's being conservative. And half of these mainstream media economic douchebag reporters don't know nothing. Idiots with suits and frickin' ties. No research. No interviews with people who actually know what the frack is really, really going on. The US Treasury warned last week that it could hit the debt ceiling of $16.4 trillion, equivalent to more than 100% of the US gross domestic product by the end of the year. The Congressional Budget Office estimates the federal government will spend $3.8 trillion on interest payments alone in the next 10 years, and that is under its baseline projections, which assume that current laws remain unchanged. In other words, it assumes that the US will mark the new year by jumping off the fiscal cliff into recession. It probably won't, of course, but it is one of those low-probability, high-impact events that'll get everybody incredibly afraid and maybe pulling their money out of the stock market, as happened with the very first Black Tuesday or whatever it was, stock market crashes that the Rockefellers and JP Morgan and all of those other scumbags, they just put it out through their media, oh, there's runs on the banks, there's runs on the banks, and everybody suddenly freaked out, and then there was a run on the banks. And then all the little banks who were all competitors with these giant banking cartel scum went out of business because of the lies made up by the giant banking cartel scum. And they never got back in business. Mm-mm. They got bought out for pennies on the dollar. That's precisely what happens every recession. Every time there's a stock market crash, to my reckoning, the small, independent, strong businesses take a massive hit and the giant businesses swallow them up. It's like frickin' Jonah or something. It probably won't. You see, this guy's naive beyond reckoning if he thinks the United States is not going to go off a cliff at some point. All right, they've already said, and they've been coming out since the election ended, you know, moments ago, that now what they're talking about is instead of this huge billion-dollar extravaganza of Bolshevik BS, we're instead now going to focus on taxing American families, each family, $3,500 a year, and they can't even afford to pay their rent in the first frickin' place. And also a $600 billion spending cut, which apparently will be cut from the military. Yeah, so they can instead donate that money to Monsanto, who own Blackwater, who are practically running Iraq now anyway. Economic news. Has anybody else seen good economic news before? Or is everything just totally, totally insane now? Okay? This guy's talking about this fiscal cliff, and he's used the word fiscal cliff four times in the article already. The fiscal cliff arises because several time-limited measures are all set to expire at the same time. That's not a coincidence. It's called a coordinated strike. These people know, absolutely know, without equivocation, that at the end of the years, between Christmas and New Year's Eve, there ain't nobody in Congress or the Senate to resist any agenda. Okay? When they passed the Federal Reserve Bill, when do you think it was? Over Christmas. And so many others, I can't even think of them off the top of my head, but if you have a look at any legislation that's passed during Christmas, it's usually the most most horrendous, most despicable, most Stasi-like type legislation all gets shafted in there during that 1 week. You know, like in New Zealand, the asset sales bill, when they were going to sell umpteen $1 billion worth of profit producing assets to foreigners, pass it over Christmas. Huh? Okay. Well, you know why? Because there's nobody around to resist it because they're all on holiday. It goes back to what I was saying before about how good, decent people just want to stay home with their families. They don't want to have to go to work in order to defend the whole country on their holidays. No, they want to spend some freaking time with their families, man. Have some fun. But instead of having fun, they arrive home to find their country in ashes. Burned to the ground, fiscally speaking, by criminals wielding torches of derivatives that simply weigh down your economy like cement shoes to a mafia victim. These people know how to take control of your country. They've been doing it for quite some time. They're quite proficient at it. Firstly, got to create a crisis, all right? Nobody wants to do anything if there ain't no crisis. It's like you walk up to somebody who's in their house and you say to them, you know, maybe you should buy this little bit of gold here. And they go, okay, why should I buy that little bit of gold? Well, is there a problem? And say, well, yeah, the economy is about to collapse. And gold is the oldest store of wealth. Back in Roman times, you could buy a suit of armor for an ounce of gold. And today you could buy a very nice tailored suit for an ounce of gold. It's got the same value. US dollar's been down 97%, and it's getting worse. So you think to yourself, man, that's a bit of a crisis. How much is that gold? You know, that's how you get people's interest in. And then you've created the crisis. So now you've got to propose a solution, but you've got to propose a solution that'll make you rich and make them poor, right? So what you do is you get that gold and you put a markup on it, okay? And unbeknownst to this person, you've been buying up all the gold over the entire economy. Everything that was actually supporting the value of the currency, you've been buying out to make the currency value go down. And then you go up to people and you sell them gold by saying that it's a store of the currency, or the store of the wealth, and you charge them a markup. And you salt the coins and the bars with tungsten, which is the same weight, or pretty close to, of gold, and people don't notice. How many times have you seen somebody saw one of their gold bars in half just to check if it was fully gold? People don't do that, man. See? You can get away with a scam endlessly. This is how these people work. And if you're not aware that this is how they work, what they're doing will continue to work in perpetuity. Because each new generation that comes in wouldn't have heard of this scam before, wouldn't have experienced it, because all the people that actually saw this scam happening in the first place and tried to do something about it either become too broke to get their message out, or just mentally traumatized so that nobody listens to them when they tell them the truth, or just straight up bumped off. Okay, they figured this out. They're taking the long view. Now, we, as a people, certainly the people of America and all over the world, of course, but we as a people, and I don't want to put everybody into groups. There are no Americans. There are no New Zealanders. There are no Aussies. There are only slaves. So slaves of the world. I know you may not want to think of yourself as a slave. Are you still paying your taxes? Yes, you are. You're a slave. Are you still paying gas to the Rockefeller oil cartel just in order to get to your slave job? Yes, you are. Slave. And I'm not saying be depressed about being a slave. Slaves have a huge amount of power. Huge amount. Why do you think they need us? They need slaves to build their prisons for them. They need slaves to work the gears of the machines that kill other slaves and enslave other slaves. It's not the blind leading the blind. It's the enslaved enslaving the enslaved. It's insane. If we just realize, just stop right now and realize, I've still got all this mechanism of slavery bonding me. My hands are cuffed with dollar bills. My feet are shackled together with petrochemical bonds. My freedom of movement is restricted by a fence of ideology. I'm in a prison camp. I may not be able to see the bars. I may not be able to see the guards checking up on me every day. But the bars are there nonetheless. And the guards are checking up on me all day, every day, regardless of how hard I look for them and don't find them. This is my intense realization, ladies and gentlemen. Even though I'm out here fighting against being a slave and getting exterminated or whatever, it doesn't mean that I forget the simple and obvious truth that you are a slave, Neo. Mm-hmm. Once you realize you're not free, you'll be surprised how freeing it is. Ironically enough. Because what have you got to lose now? Like, yeah, I'm a slave. I don't want to be a slave anymore. I don't want to work for this people. I don't want to talk with that person. I don't want to have anything in my life that connotes scumbaggery anymore. That's the unslave mentality, okay? You can't just free yourself, okay? You're held down by too many hands. Imagine this. You're lying flat on the ground, face forward. None of your muscles are really designed to move backwards. They're all designed to move forward. So they're pinning your ability to amass strength down to the ground so that whenever you push, you're actually trying to push yourself up rather than bring somebody else down to stop them from holding you down. You know what I'm saying? So you got that situation there, and you got maybe, just call a random number. Let's say you got 20 people's pairs of hands on you. One person's holding down each of your hands. One person's holding down each of your forearms. One person's holding down each of your shoulders. One person's holding down your head. One person's holding down your back. One person's holding down each of your butt cheeks. One's holding down each segment of your legs. One's holding down your sexual organs. You see what I'm saying here? There is no way you can get out of that hold. That is the hold they have on all of us. It's not possible to escape it while these hands still exist. And I say that the only way to do it is to cut their fingers off, one at a time. Do the exact opposite of everything they want you to do. They try to push your head in one direction, force it back the other way. They try to put your hand down to grasp something that you don't want to hold a grasp on. Let go of it and watch it smash on the ground 1,000 feet below you. Do the opposite of whatever you're being told to do. And you'll ironically find out that you're suddenly doing the right thing and not being a slave. We'll be right back after the break.